Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, and I'm in a hotel right now in Los Angeles, and I know it's a bit of a mess. It's not a great hotel. So I checked in, and right on the key card thing, it said, always check for ID if someone knocks on your door, and that's never a good sign. But it was cheap. I like cheap because I came into town to do Joe Rogan, which was a highlight of my career, and it was awesome. You know, I've been a fan of his forever, and he asked me to do it this week, so I just got on a plane, came here, and did it, and I'm very glad I did because it's kind of like the Conversation Olympics where that guy is so good at talking, and he just, it's so mesmerizing to listen to him talk all these years, and I've talked about him a lot on the podcast, and it was really cool how much support I got from my listeners, because I think you guys knew how much it meant to me, and that was really nice to see, like how proud people were, because, you know, I could have gotten the lead of a movie and made a bunch of money, and it wouldn't have been as cool as having Joe Rogan ask me to have a 3-hour conversation with him. That was just awesome. But LA, it's fun to visit, but like I love the people, you know, the ones I hang out with. But I was just walking on the street and I saw a guy, this one crazy guy's walking on the street. And you can just tell when someone's crazy. And he punched a random guy in the face. There's just some normal guy walking the other direction. And this dude's like, yo, man. And he just hit him in the face. And the other guy was just like, and didn't do anything. And I'm just right behind all of this. And I'm like, this place is just full of demons. Like there's just people just demons. And I'm so happy to live where I live. And today's episode, I'm gonna break down a show we just did in Saranac Lake where we live. It's a small town. And my brother and I have been doing comedy together now. My brother's not in comedy. He's a teacher and a lumberjack. He's always like, I'm not a lumberjack. He's an arborist. He's a tree guy. Climbs up 200-foot trees and surgically cuts them down. But he is also capable of lumberjacking. Like, you know, we're right now cutting a road into his forest. All I'm saying is it's a great place. And I've been getting him. I do tree work with him. And he does comedy with me. So I get to live out some physical extremes and he gets to live out some mental extremes, and it's really fun to learn off each other. And I think that he's getting better at comedy than I'm getting better at tree work. And LA is an interesting place too because it's so racially divided and it's so full of left-wing people that are super judgmental. And I was just jogging through Hancock Park in West Hollywood and stuff. I just met up with a buddy. And you've never seen a place, I'm sure there's other places in the city or in the country, but where the help is all brown. And these are the people being like, racism, literally, the help is brown. Like all the maids, all the gardeners, it's just they're all brown. It's a color-coded class system here, which where I live does not exist. Someone today on Twitter asked me if I mow my own lawn, and I was like, not only do I mow my own lawn, I also do my own weed whacking. My brother does the trees, and my wife does the cleaning. Like, I think that there's a real disconnect in areas where people outsource their chores. I think we need chores as a people. Chores are important. You gotta mow your lawn, man. Like, sure, you can pay an illegal Mexican $5 an hour to do it for you, but like then you don't get the visceral feeling of being a person who mows his own lawn. I just don't understand how that works. Like how someone justifies not mowing their small lawn. Because we have three properties in Saranac Lake. I'm trying to develop rental income. You know, that's why a lot of times I'm cash poor. But it's because I got, you know, my little honey pot. I'm trying to make my honey pot grow on its own. It's all about passive income, right? It's secrets only white people know. And That's, by the way, that's what privilege actually is. It's not skin tone. It's life skills, like understanding cheap debt versus expensive debt, understanding passive income, understanding write-offs, understanding, you know, how LLCs work and stuff like that. That's actually privilege. The knowledge and skills of people that can grow wealth versus people that live in debt. And I'm in such a turbulent career that I need to secure things for my family's future. And that's why I mow 3 lawns and I mow all my own lawns, because we don't have Mexicans and whites charge more. And also, I take pride in it. You know, I put on a camel pack. I just start hydrating. It's pretty great. What was I going to talk about today? Oh yeah. My buddy, Kevin Lilly, who, one of my best friends in the world, he owns his own gym in LA, and watching his career go up has been just incredible, you know? And I think people with similar values kind of stick together. And I met Kevin when he was just an hourly paid trainer at Crunch, and he was always special, just a special guy. And I started using him as a trainer, and he just got my head straight in a lot of ways. But I was definitely getting a little fat there and just depressed, and LA was just kind of eating me up a bit, even though I was successful career-wise. And he set me straight, you know, about personal accountability. And he's just like the male force I needed in my life. And since then, we've stayed so close. And watching him, I'll just give you an example of his life now. I go in to meet him for lunch today, and his days are so tight. He works so hard that he has a stopwatch. So I go in and he's training Ryan Seacrest, right? He now owns his own gym. You know, he's like, he trained A-Rod and Brie Larson and all these people. He's elite, right? And no change in his personality, none. In fact, probably more humble. No change. He's always just big laughs, those truth eyes where he sees your soul. And like when you make a good point, he's like, yes. And when you're full of shit, he's like, you're full of shit. And just, I relate to that. I relate to people that are always trying to whittle out their dead wood. You know, if something isn't flying, it's out. And just like no nonsense. And I think some of these like legendary alpha people in LA almost need him to set their head straight of just, do a back lunge, you know, engage your core, stop eating sugar, shit like that. Like you're not a victim. That's his whole thing. It's like personal accountability. And we were talking today. Man, I love this guy. I love this dude. You know, like every time we see each other, usually we give each other like a book. He's all about knowledge, you know? He's like, dude, read this, you know? And his knowledge and life experience is to the point where it's pretty unreal. You know, he tours with like Diplo. Dude, he's the one who made Calvin Harris ripped for that, for like Calvin Harris all of a sudden got shredded. And that was all Kev. And he does that to your mind too. So I just love being around him. But anyway, we're talking about our parents and we're both kind of complaining about aspects of our parents. And this is why I think moral code is good for people, even if, they have a hard time with religion, because Kevin and I relate on that as well, that we have a hard time with religion because of our Catholic upbringing. But I have faced, I don't want to be robbed of spirituality and morality because I had a bad spin of the wheel, you know, in the 80s at the in Catholic Church in Oswego, New York, you know. And he had the same thing where it was like, everything I can't stand about left-wing identity politics, the church used to do. There was no debate. There was no asking why. It was just, you're a sinner. It was all about shame, right? And so, but I won't let that keep me from the moral code that I feel was instilled in me as a kid through my parents. And we started talking about how one reason why things are falling apart culturally is because people are just bad parents. And although we were both facing issues with our own parents, we were like, we have good parents. And my dad did something recently that really pissed me off. And I was talking to my mom and I recorded it because she's just this sage of wisdom in my life. And I put those on Patreon because, you know, it's my mom. I don't want to throw her out to tons of people, but I want people to know her knowledge, and she enjoys it too. And I was complaining about my dad and something he pulled recently that was really bizarre and hurtful. And then I realized I'm not going to post it because honor thy father is important. And it sounds corny, and it's one of those things where when I say it, I have a shiver. Like, no, I'm not one of those liars. But no, I'm not going to live my life because there were liars, like that there were people manipulating Christianity to serve their selfish interest. Honor thy father is a phenomenal thing to live by. And my father is a great man. And I'm not going to, I wasn't bashing him, but I'm not going to like do that. Like it just isn't cool. And it's like, because what it was, if I did that, I would engage in the very cycle that I was criticizing him for, if that makes sense. It's almost like Antifa, right? This group that claims to be bashing fascists, but in doing so, they become fascist. It's like hating football, so you get your 10 best, biggest friends to play them in football, to teach football a lesson. You just became a football team, right? And I think that it's easy to forget the struggles other people go through, like, you know, getting older and just things that you thought you would have. See, my problem is I don't want things to be a motivation. I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, and another thing we're talking about is another moral code that I think that we're robbing ourselves from if we don't allow ourselves to have a moral compass outside of the state. You don't want the government to set your moral compass. You want family and you want to do it yourself, right? He with no sin cast the first stone. That's a biblical passage, and it is very, very true right now. Because right now you see it, all this condemnation, all this outrage. I was discussing it with Rogan yesterday on his show about the Robert E. Lee statue, and it's a very complicated issue. It's similar to abortion, right? Where abortion is a tricky one because it's about protecting the rights of the individual. Now, when does the individual shift from mother to unborn child? That's the question, right? And for this type of shit with Robert E. Lee, it's where does the individual stop and the moral crusade begin, right? And this is my issue with taking down the statue. I see a problem when it's on government property, like if it's near a courthouse or whatnot. But neutering your past is never good. And here's another thing. Robert E. Lee, side by side with Grant, Robert E. Lee was probably a better man. And by the way, slavery is bad. Racism is bad. All these things are givens. I don't feel like I should have to like always say that, like that. Granted, I will say I never expected there to be actual Nazis working in Charlottesville. Like, that was very surprising to me. But that's obviously a given. My point is this. If you play this out, right? So then what Trump tweeted, I think, was wrong as a president because he works for all of us. He's our boss. Or he's not our boss. He's our employee, right? The president. He should condemn Black Lives Matter violence, neo-Nazi violence, Antifa violence, KKK violence. He should just always condemn domestic terrorism in any form, right? And not ever play sides. And you can tit for tat about how Obama didn't condemn people that shot police officers, which was shocking. But then you engage in that like us versus them shit that no one wins, right? My point is, what I think he was trying to say was, what's next, George Washington? George Washington, Native Americans could easily call him a terrorist, right? And George Washington owned slaves. So his point was, who gets to say who's good and bad? Right now, we could be wiped out, genocide, right? And in 100 years, someone could call us statistics, right? Because our phones that you're watching this on, or all this shit, they're made by, exported, outsourced slaves in China or whatnot. You know, we're driving cars that may increase the temperature of the earth 3 degrees or something. You know, in the future, someone could say, oh, well, those guys deserved it. I'm just a guy mowing his lawn with a child, right? Think about all the, only 3% of the South owned slaves, right? So think about all the people with just little kids or people that had slaves, just like right now, these people have illegal Mexicans cutting all their shit. They're paying them $5 an hour and they're exploited. Think about people masturbating, which I've done and will do again, I'm sure. But is it morally right? Like, these girls, and you keep seeing more and more and more online, right? Like Pornhub and all this shit. Just think about what that does to their life. Like if they get married and their children and their boss in the future and all this stuff, they see them, you know, engaged in these wacky porno videos and the shame that's involved in that. And you get to just like a voyeur, like a fly on a wall, watch these people engage in sexual acts publicly and get off to it and then close your little laptop. And that's it for you, but that's not it for them. And then you get to go on these little phones made by little kids in China and tweet your outrage against someone else. Now, remember that biblical passage, he with no sin cast the first stone. Who gets to decide who is good and evil? I think these are issues that our families should deal with, not the state, not the internet, not CNN. We have to develop our own value system. And I think a situation like Robert E. Lee, this is what I think. I think that the community should vote on it. I think it's a community issue. I think that we operate the best in small groups. And sometimes things aren't scalable. That's why I'm such an individualist. And when I say I'm on the right, that's what I mean. It does not mean fascist. It does not even mean Republican. Because I don't even know what these things are technically. I think in terms of a spectrum of big government, the state is your God, and individual responsibility. And usually those people are more on the right. And that's what I thought the spectrum was, where it's individual accountability. Martin Luther King Jr., that fringe right speaker, said, I have a dream that one day a man will be judged not by the color of his skin, but the content of his character. And I think that progressivism and Nazism are inverses of each other. They both have a premise that there's something special about white people. The concept of people of color is insane, ladies and gentlemen. I'm the first to admit like I've done something wrong. That's how these people get your brain, right? Acknowledge that American slavery was insane. And there was a major hurdle that African Americans had to overcome that other immigrant classes did not have to overcome in this country, even though a lot had to overcome their own stuff. No Irish need apply. You know, Slav literally means slave. Of course, the Jews haven't had an easy run. What was I talking about? People of color. People of color means that someone from Thailand, someone from India, someone from Nigeria, throwing an Eskimo, someone from Guatemala, they all have something in common. They aren't white. Okay, so the left, their solution to this, and by the way, I consider Nazis on the left, but I don't feel like arguing about that with people. I don't think it's a horseshoe. I think it's a straight line. I think right-wing dystopia, because I'm not a full-blown libertarian, because I think that right-wing dystopia would be like Mad Max, where there's absolutely no collective anything. So everyone operates just completely autonomously. And I think with so many people, that could be fucking crazy. But left-wing dystopia is any form of socialism, like Nazi, communist, all that shit, where the state is your god. There's no moral code. The moral code stems from a tyrannical ruler who may be a vicious drunk like Stalin or a meth head like Hitler. Or Grant was a drunk, too. Robert E. Lee wasn't. But what was I keep losing my train of thought about people. So something special about white people. So that's not true. There isn't anything special about white people. There's a culture, but that isn't even a white thing. There's a type of culture. That's why I always encourage everyone to read Thomas Sowell, Black Redneck, White Liberal. Unbelievable book about cultural genomes, like what you pass on through your cultural DNA, not your DNA. DNA is not as important as people think at all. These are little tiny things that don't really matter. And I mean that. I'm not virtue signaling at all. And everyone, you know I'm not. This is real. The difference between someone of a different race is less than someone of a different height or blood type, or whether they're right or left-handed. A lot of these things, when it comes to, well, not in America as far as how long you live. American black dudes, they go down just, you know, pretty young. So a lot of tall people die young too, though. Left-handed people die 7 years on average before right-handed people. All I'm saying is arbitrary groups are not efficient to label people. Now, the left, progressives, want to limit whites because they're so special, right? We need affirmative action. We need quotas. We need white privilege guilt. We need white people to constantly be in a state of feeling sorry. Because why? Because their skin is power, right? That's called racism, ladies and gentlemen, and I will never back down on that fact. Because saying that white people, it's not racist to be racist against white people, because white people inherently have power because of their skin tone. That is an inverse of Nazism. Nazism says white people are special, and they have then they should have power because of their skin tone. Now, it's the same concept. It's just a different policy. One wants to give the special whites more power, and one wants to take the special whites' power away. Both are ridiculous. And it will only devalue the society. Like, you will only have a worse society from that. Because if you look at the Nazi skinheads, if you have any value in your skin, you're not going to work harder at developing skills or becoming a better person or a more productive member of society, because you think you already won with your skin. You know, it's kind of like if there was less gravity, your muscles would atrophy. Because that's a bad example. Kind of a good example, but not the best example. Let's say you have a trust fund. You probably won't work as hard. You might, but, you know, bell curves work in little tiny increments, right? If you have $1 billion in the bank, there's a good chance that you're not going to be as hungry to do what my friend Kevin did and start his own gym and just start crushing. It's the same thing for racists. Like, if you think that just because you're white, you've already won something, which you haven't, you will then not become stronger or better. And if you are black or Thai or Indian and Guatemalan or any other thing that apparently links people together, and you think that the reason you're not doing good in your life is because you aren't white, and that alone makes you demand their power from them, you're not going to get any better from that either. And even if you do get these short little bursts of cash from affirmative action or quotas or socialism, these class things, it doesn't work at all. In fact, Malcolm Gladwell has stated in books that affirmative action actually hurts the black community, because it'll put people that shouldn't be in Harvard, and then they usually drop out. Where if they went to University of Baltimore, there's a higher chance that they get a PhD and become a neuroscientist. And there are obstacles that certain groups face. Race is not typically the factor. Read Black Redneck White Liberal. There's certain cultures that are less likely to succeed because of cultural values, extreme violence, tribalism, materialism, just all kinds of shit, right? And it isn't split with race. It's like seeing, okay, Bill Cosby and a 9-year-old black kid whose dad's in prison in Chicago. Who needs help? The 9-year-old kid, right? He's at a very disadvantaged position. Bill Cosby is a rapist who's free. Okay, they're both black. So that categorization doesn't mean shit. Okay, superior race for white people, right? Look at David Beckham compared to that Hills Have Eyes guy who just ran over that chick with a car. Do they appear like they both have the same quality of genes? No. The neo-Nazi guy has the lowest grade of genes. His eyes are right next to each other. He's so stupid. He killed an innocent woman out of ideological rage. He's taking credit for his skin. You see what I'm saying? Race is not, but that goes for all groups. What progressivism is and what Nazism is the same thing. It's the same premise. And for people that say, oh, how, yeah, oh, yeah. progressivism has killed exponentially more people, right? Hitler has more Netflix specials, so there's more promotion of it. He killed 6 million Jews. Stalin killed 30 to 50 million. Mao killed 60 million. All in the name of progress. They called themselves progressives. Political correctness was invented by Mao. These are people that were battling oppressive forces, right? Because Kulak Lives Matter. It's all a bit of a joke. All right. And by the way, thank you for all your Patreon support, because that's why I can do stuff like come to LA. You know, like that little extra couple bucks a month. And for those of you that do 25 a month, I'm now going to start sending you guys shit in the mail. Like I just ordered 200 hats, Feed the Bear hats, for my UK tour. And I'll send them to you guys because I want to reward people that go the extra mile, because I feel like, I don't know. It just feels weird. That's, I don't know. You get it. So patreon.com/WDTL. Any bit helps because it allows me, like I didn't make any money this week. I lost money. But it was worth every penny. I would triple it, quadruple it to be able to be on Rogan and talk about duck penises for 3 straight hours. But, you know, I have a small family. So it's like the little bit that you guys contribute goes a long way to help me continue on this wild path that I've chosen for myself. Oh, and I was talking to, what was I going to talk about here? Oh, here's a little relationship advice. I know I talk a lot about politics on here, but a lot of people are very interested in relationship stuff, because I'm actually better at relationship stuff than I am political talk. The reason I got more into political talk is because it became a direct threat to my relationship comedy. Okay, because if I'm doing jokes about how men and women are different, and if that's considered hate speech, I don't get hired at colleges. And for people that say, why do you care about free speech in colleges? Because I used to make a bunch of money at colleges. And now they only let, Muslim extremists or Lena Dunham go there because they're fucking insane. And so there's that. But I've noticed a big bump in all my social media and all my views and all this shit. And I think I've just been more active at just my own, getting my own fans and getting my own people and people that I can communicate with on a good, deep level. I'm very optimistic about the future these days. And it's because of you guys listening to my bullshit. So yeah, I'll be in Dallas and then Plano, Texas, and then the UK tour, where I'm taping a special, thanks to my man William in Scotland. Much respect. So that's at hugepianist.com. So let's go through some of these clips. Watch, this is my brother opening up for me, and let's just take a look.
Whenever they came here, see, that's what's great about it. You're like, oh yeah, you know, those, can you imagine being like the diary entries that you don't get to read? Like almost like the Vatican has like those other gossip, they'll let you imagine the diaries. It's like someone's like, I would rather die on TV in fucking New York City where I just left and freeze my balls off. One more fucking winter up here. This is the coldest place. No one should live here. Just fucking kill me. But now we have the porches, so you're like, all right, porches. I have one of those porches. And my wife and I will sit out there and drink like 10 beers and be like, it's a cure porch.
So as you can see, he's a natural at this shit. It's pretty great. Our town, Saranac Lake, we have cure cottages, because back in the day, people with tuberculosis would come up there and get cured with the beautiful mountain air. And so it's fun that we can just kind of roast the crowd and just roast like our experience. And I think one of the reasons why people in my town have a good head on their shoulders and haven't really fallen into despair and collective Munchausen syndrome is what's happening right now in society, is because we have external threats and we already live a fairly extreme life, just battling negative 40 degree winters and constant threat of foxes at our chickens, and we all have families, and you know, we face real problems on a daily basis. And I think that people have gotten so bored, and we're so bored as a culture without very many tasks to complete, that I think people are out there doing live action role play of World War II and the Civil War because they're so fucking bored. You know, like they're out there pretending that slavery is an issue and that Nazis are an issue. Like it's literally like LARP. Like it's like furries. Like there isn't slavery. Like there isn't Nazis. These things were beaten. And now they want, like the KKK, for example. Gone. I mean, I'm sure they exist, but it's only because they're just searching for meaning. Because it, like back then, you know, with Reconstruction and all that shit, when you release all those formerly slaves and they're just mass migrating, a lot of white people are scared as shit. So that probably came out of fear and then became this really evil institution where they were dehumanizing people and whatnot. But I think it started as some sort of fear response, just like mafia. It comes from mafia, which means my daughter. And that was about when the French used to invade Sicily and they stood up for themselves. Mafia, right? And then they became the mafia. And then they became organized crime. And then they started fucking killing people. Most things start in a place where you can all understand. Like they start with like one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. And then once it becomes institutionalized and once it becomes like a tradition of hate. And you can say that the KKK is a tradition of hate at this point. Because there's no possible explanation for just getting in a little club and hating another race and then also being excited about your own stupid race. Like, when it was started, and I'm sure people right now are like, oh, you're racist. I don't care. I'm not going to pretend to be stupid or that I can't talk about complex concepts because of the dumbest person in the room. It's just, it's impossible for me at this point. And I think it's better for my mental health to just not have to be like, but I know it's bad. Like, let's talk about origins of bad things. Because, like, good and evil is split right down the middle of the human heart. You know, we are both. We are admiration and envy is the same emotion. And if you take a baby right now and you time machine them into the Assyrian Empire, by the time they're 14, they're burning people's skin off who, like, stole a bun. And people are with glee watching executions. Like, we're capable of everything in history. And I think that's one reason why we're trying to neuter our past is because we're so aware. It's almost like we were drunk and we woke up, like, what happened? And everyone's like, you don't know what we've done for the last 10,000 years? And it's like, but I have Kinney's and Rite Aid and CVS and I have Netflix. Why would I hang a black guy? And it's like, oh, you don't know that life used to just be fire. You know, that the things, like when we, the reason he with no sin cast the first stone is important because it's like, when you face things, and this is one reason why vets have a hard time coming home sometimes, is you have different sides of you that you don't even know exist right now. Like I was reading some book written by a colonel and he would talk in the third person when he was in war because he said that it wasn't really him. It was a different him. And there's warrior mode where people do things that they could never imagine that they were capable of doing. And then they have to come home and just go to CVS and be like, no, I'm not a CVS member. When they just shot a kid because they thought they had a bomb. You know? And I think the rejection of our own horror will lead to horror. Because you're not a good person unless you know you can be a bad person. And I think that the acknowledgement, and so you see a lot of moral outrage from people that have questionable morals, and I'll say that generously, where the worst people, like the Lena Dunhams of the world, who are just blatant monsters of human beings, whether it's her false rape accusation, the fact that she molested her sister, she adopted a dog and abandoned it. It's just nonstop with that chick. She said she regrets not having an abortion. I mean, so people like that are the most likely to be paranoid and condemn people because they themselves are horrible. And they put in no work to figure out what it is about the external that makes them so angry. The time when it's okay to point a finger is when they threaten you. And that's why I've done a lot of soul searching on a lot of these issues. And the reason that I'm so pro free speech and pro individualism and anti-collectivism and anti-socialism and anti-Nazism, because this is all threats to my career as an artist and a free speech guy. Like I went from doing jokes that were considered hacky, like men and women are different. This is why women are crazy. This is why men are pigs. We literally, alt comics used to be like mainstream. And now I'm like fringe because I'm not saying that men and women are identical, right? So like I personally am threatened by these movements. So that's why I fight. And it isn't because I'm trying to tell other people how to live. It's because my sovereignty as a human being is threatened by it. All right, let's watch a little more of my brother. This is when my brother gets, he's capable of one thing I look up to with him is he's capable of not going for laughs and just kind of making a point. I think he gets that from teaching. Like, check this out.
That's it. You're 57 and you're red eggplant. So, and my buddy, and then my buddy, again, for this town, what I love about this town, a bunch of things, but I'll just stick to the script. So, unfortunately, my buddy passed away here in April. He was a Marine Corps vet. He was a beautiful man, troubled, obviously. And I wrote a letter to the paper, just wanting to, it was just a very visceral, immediate, like, hey, if you ever saw this guy, or you might have thrown him out of places or called the police on him. He was a wild child, but he was great. He was great. So I wrote this letter to the paper, and people came up like, dude, I read your letter, and it was awesome. But I went to Fusion, and the kid in there is like, Mr. Smith, at this point I'm like, I don't remember you. You have a beard now, and you're like, he's like, Mr. Smith, I put that letter on my fridge. It's like, where does that happen? That doesn't happen anywhere. And Justin, my buddy that passed away, maybe he's somehow he might. Justin introduced me to these pants. See these? These are called stretchy pants. See that? You can't do that, right? So for tree work, I've always been wearing like Carhartts. Where you're doing the old, here's a log. It's like. Nothing. You're like, watch me fucking Perrier. But it's awkward. It's awkward. You know, you're doing this like tree work and there's these, construction guys and you're like, bro. I was at my buddy Trevor's house. There's a party and Ryan was there. I looked over across the fire and I saw his pants. And I was like, I think those are stretchy pants. I don't know how to ask. And then I was like, I'm just gonna ask, like, hey, Rod, are those stretchy pants? He's like, fuck yeah, dude. And both of us got up and we're like, look at what we can do. Look at that. Look what we can do. But
yeah, I mean, if you watch a lot of these or listen to these, listen to two broken vets and a sad clown walk into a town. That's about our friend who died, and he still affects us a lot. Definitely changed the way I see a lot of things in the world. And my brother will just remind people, like, remember Justin? Remember that crazy vet that you guys walked by? Like, he introduced me to these pants because someone sent me a great quote that, a warrior never dies if people keep telling their stories, basically. And so that's why that's important to him. And then he'll make something so goofy about the pants. And he loves those stretchy pants. Anyway, so here's another quick bit. Because we're doing a benefit for the hockey team, for kids that you know, for their... that's why we do these. It's all this goes to charity. And, you know, it's for kids that need money for hockey. Because hockey can be expensive and it's a small town, you know. So, and by the way, we did beat the Russians 7 miles down the road. 1980, a little thing called Miracle on Ice. But here's another bit from my brother, and then I'll show you some of my bits, and then we'll call it a day.
Big game. You mean the Penguins? Against the Mighty Ducks. We're the Penguins! You're like, dude, maybe you wanna, you know, just say we're Pittsburgh. We're the Penguins! You're like, dude, maybe you wanna, you know, just say we're Pittsburgh. We're, you know, we're the Ducks! We're gonna fucking quack the fuck out of you with our bill. We're just gonna fucking move their bills. And Penguins are like, we're gonna just fucking slide all over. Yeah, catch me now, dude. Yeah. The Senators? And isn't there one like the D.C., the Capitals? Like, that's, if someone just said, hey, tonight the Senators are playing the Capitals, you're like, dude, I don't watch the news. But I want the Senators to die, I guess. And the Islanders is like...
So he's got a true TV show coming out. We fought over Scrabble. It was a Scrabble. That's good to be here.
Yeah, like, that's a great joke. He's like, we're writing hockey jokes together. Like, how... He's just so good. Like, that's really difficult. Like, how good he is at stand-up now is pretty amazing. Because my dream would be one day to tour with him, you know, if I could actually afford to pay him. We could do a little family business, because we're both public speech guys, because our dad taught us really well how to speak publicly when we were very young. Yeah, I think our skill set is not having a lot of fear. You know, some say that also is a sign of sociopathy, but I don't think so. I cried watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2 on the plane the other day, so I'm pretty sure I'm not a sociopath. I'm actually kind of a pussy. And I'm also, so Feed the Bear, the special we're taping in Manchester, England, is fully funded by my man William, which is insane. A fan of my stand-up and just a great all-around guy won the lottery in Scotland and just gave me 10 grand for no reason just to make the special because he said one of my shows was sold out and he really wanted to go, so I'm going to get him an armchair. Such a legendary move. Wanted nothing in return, which I find unbelievable. That's why I want to give him everything in return. But so that one's done, but I'm now raising money for the next special. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but I'm working on it. So if you want to donate to that, you can go to hugepianist.com and you will get a producer credit. And there's already been a bunch of great donations. Whatever you want to give, awesome, producer credit. And I haven't figured out how to write a thank you back yet. Usually my wife is better at that because it goes in through PayPal and I get the notification that I got something towards the special. But I haven't figured out how to accumulate emails or anything. I have an email list, but I've only sent out like 2 in my life. So just know I'm very appreciative and I will eventually be able to find how to like put that in a list. But I get a lot of great emails from you guys, man. And I feel honored that a lot of you feel I speak for you. Because I do. And I think a lot of the media does not represent us very well. Even though we are many, many of us exist. All right, so here is a bunch of small town comedy from the Big Bear.
Just to let you know, every island in history has been destroyed and overtaken and crushed. But this, you know what? What's scary is we're the Red Storm. And last night I was talking to my wife about this, and she, I'm gonna blame her for this kind of. But she's like, "What if it's like menstrual blood?" I was like, "That wins." That fucking wins! Like, we're going up against the Red Storm and it's menstrual blood. You're like, duh! Duh! You're like, well, we're the fucking New York tampons. And you're like, you know, Owen was there and I was here and we saw each other and we were like rams, just, you know, no stretchy pants. Yeah, I think it was Umbros. And just, and we collided, and it was just like, and like, you know, rattled. And no one's rattled. You know, we keep playing, and someone was like, "Oh, dude, your eye's like fucking all red." And it, his eye was all red. They were exactly red. But we kept playing, played it out. And I went back to the apartment later, and I was like, and until that moment, I didn't touch my head. I don't know why, you know. So I'm rubbing my head like, fuck, you know, and I'm covered in blood. There's blood on my head. So my girlfriend's like, gee, so what do you do? You know, what do my parents teach me? Fine, and you know, don't go to the hospital. That's what they tried to teach me. I was like, do you know any nursing majors? Like, just give me a nursing major. I'm fine. I played the whole game. And she came over and was like, you need to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital and got like 6 staples in my head. It was the one and only time my brother and I, but we're gonna do this. We're gonna reenact it again when he comes up here. So speaking of it, let me introduce you to this guy. Now he's Saranac Lake's own. It's so fucking awesome. And I love driving by him, even though he's on his phone. I'm like, yo, Dennis! I'm like, dude. All right, you felt it. So he's got a true TV show coming out. John Muldowney is an expert on it. I won't tell you on what, though. But he brings a lot of clarity to a very important topic. We'll just keep it at that. He's, you know, did the house finding. He's got Comedy Central things up the wazoo. And he pops up everywhere. I mean, the dude will just pop up everywhere. But again, per usual, I like to introduce this guy as my little brother, Owen Benjamin Smith, everybody. Woo! Yeah, okay. My brother Jason, who is definitely on purpose watching the Festival in Atlanta. That was not by accident, brother. We fought over Scrabble. It was a Scrabble fight. And he punched me as hard as he could in the balls. He's really excited about stretchy pants. It's good to be here.
All right, so it's a strong joke, but they did, given the like what this podcast is called, let's analyze why they didn't laugh at a point. And I see now. I said the first joke was strong because it's my pharmacy is called the post office. Our pharmacy is literally called the post office. So that got a laugh. And then I said the restaurant is called the bank. That's a problem because the restaurant is called the Left Bank. And I thought that would translate, but later my wife said, if I had said Left Bank, it was a French restaurant in town, and everyone knows all these places. There's only one like real main strip. And so that's probably why that joke didn't get a laugh. When I said the restaurant's called the bank, it's the Left Bank. Because that is hilarious that it's called the bank. And then the reason Verizon Store took, this is kind of funny why I'm making fun of the Verizon Store. One of my best friends, Guck, who's always on my periscopes, he's a vet, works with my brother now doing trees, and we're just always hanging. He's like hilarious. Like we have this game called Fill in the Guck, because he's always like a half step off of like the right words. Like you could be like, Simon and, he'd be like, Fun Gunkle, you know, or like, he with no sin cast the first. He's like, bone. He's hilarious. He said that his dream is just to walk around the woods whistling. So anyway, he got arrested recently at the Verizon store. And so I'm literally mocking Verizon just in case there's I have to fuck with the jury pool. He's fine. It was just a disorderly. He dumped his coffee in there because it really isn't a Verizon store. It's like just some bullshit thing. And they are infuriating in there. I tried to switch to a flip phone after hanging out with Ari Shaffir for a weekend, and he kind of sold me on it. And they were just so unhelpful and just fuck them. So that was me kind of like going after the Verizon store. So maybe that's why it didn't kill as hard as it could, because it wasn't, I had an agenda on that one. I wanted to humiliate the people that humiliated my friend. And I think, all right, so let's keep going.
Shitty place.
There's my wife and I left Los Angeles.
I wrote a bunch of jokes just for you guys. Saranac Lake is a great town. It's awesome to be here. Love living here. It's a town of contradictions and confusion. Like, for example, my pharmacy is called the post office. The restaurant is called the bank. And there is no Saranac Lake. It's called Lake Flower. And then the Verizon store isn't actually a Verizon store. You go in there, you're like, yeah, I need some help with Verizon. They're like, well, we're actually not a Verizon store. I'm like, then tell it to the fucking Verizon sign in front of your shitty place. All right, so that's a good bit. I'm sure all you guys relate to it. Tribalism, that gangs always exist, whether it's Republican, Democrat, white, black, or two ice cream shops. And I definitely made a misstep by calling one of them child diddlers, but I did not write the end of that joke. And so during it, I had to think of something slanderous. And I, you know, hyperbole usually works where it's like, oh, if you like that ice cream, I didn't know that you loved rape and slavery. You know, if you go far enough, but I think diddling children is a little too real. So I think that might have rubbed people the wrong way.
My
wife and I left Los Angeles when she was, when we just had a baby, because we lived in an area with a lot of gangs. And we came here, and there are no gangs here, but lately I've been realizing there are gangs. There's a pretty crazy gang war right now going on between Donnelly's and Mountain Mist. It gets heated. It's like, you like Donnelly's? That shit isn't local. It's like, oh, you like Mountain Mist? Oh, I guess you don't mind fucking diddling children. I'm just kidding, I made that up. That's not a rumor. I literally just made that up. Don't spread that.
Right, that was a successful bit, because that was all rhythm. I was getting laughs as I was kind of reeling them into a story that everyone knows, because we have this one code enforcer. I have a tumultuous relationship with him. He called the cops on me once, but he's fine. But, and everyone knows he does this shit. So that's getting a laugh, and I'm just kind of going like that. And then the hard turn to, and then I bought a gun off a guy. And everyone knows that's also true, that it's like, there's so little regulation for firearms and stuff like that, but yet it takes you 5 months to build a dock on your own shoreline. So that just kind of worked. All right, what's that? What else we got? But that was all rhythm. That was all music right there. That was musical rhythm.
It's a contradictory town, man. It's like you guys take so much care for certain things. Like, I'm trying to build a dock right now, and it's beautiful. John Dupree built a dock for us. Give it up for Dupree, the man. Yeah. And it was so beautiful and well built that we wanted to do more. And so we've been talking to the code enforcer for about, I don't know, 7 months? It's not been that long, but it's been an absurd amount of time. And he's a fine human being, but very meticulous. You know, like every square foot has to be accounted for and approved of by a mysterious cabal of people that care a lot about shoreline. Even though blatantly a dock would protect a shoreline, for anyone that's taken basic science. But you know, week after week, just like a kid whose dad abandoned him, I wait by the door hoping that one day I will get approval to build my dock. And I was like, you know what? This town just cares a lot about the details. And then I just bought a gun off a guy.
Yeah, so that all worked. The beauty, comedy relies on honesty. And here, there'll be no outrage for this, because this is all so specific that the grinding force of corruption of our government doesn't give a shit about how I feel about Black Lives Matter or you know, home-brewed peppermint mosquito spray. But the bigger, it doesn't scale properly. You know, it's kind of like Islam, to be honest with you. It's like Muslims as individuals are fine. I was talking about that with somebody. There's tipping points where That's why it's so important to judge people based on the individual, not the group they belong to. Because some of the best human beings I know are Muslim because they just were raised right with the right values. But name one country of over 50% Islam where you would want to live. None. There's 1.6 billion of them, but yet you don't want to live in any of those countries. Why? I don't know. Because it's some number. It starts sucking. And that's just how math works. Math works in tiny little fractions. We're like, even if 98% of the religion is fine, then you got 2% of like Muhammad saying to kill everybody. And then that little bit will just attract this little type of psycho. And then that escalates until it becomes a government policy and you don't want to live there. It's the same with so many
things. It's simultaneously the most pessimistic and optimistic ways. The pessimism is hilarious. It's winter. Everyone's like, winter is coming. It's literally just Game of Thrones, you know. Don't go outside. Don't show emotion. The tears will freeze to your face. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's all right. You know, we'll get through winter. And then everything will change and everyone will be happy. And then they're like, black flies are coming. So the whole month of May, there was no joy because of the black flies. And then there's too much rain. And it's like, look at all this rain. Your hypothetical dock may have had to rise an inch. And then everyone has a new theory for bugs. Then a lot of bugs came out. And normally I just put on bug spray, but not in Santa Blake. Everyone's like, no, the way to get around bugs is this. And everyone has a magical potion. And then I'm a trusting person, you know, I'm not an expert on bugs, so I trust people, so I put on whatever they tell me, and then I still get bit by bugs, but it just smells like I fucked Peppermint Patty.
Thanks. Same with altruism. Socialism works great in small towns. 3,000 people, we could have socialized everything, because we all are kin, and the word kin and kind are the same word, right? But 350 million people, where you actively hate each other, that'll never work because it'll be corrupted by people that just have no horse in the game. You know, it's like, fuck these people. I'm not going to pay half my income so some asshole can sit on their couch and watch Xbox. But if you're with 3,000 people and I say, I want that kid to be able to play hockey, I'll raise $5,000 for you guys and these kids will get shin pads because I know these people. And that's how scalability works. And same with jokes. Like these jokes, I'm roasting this fucking town, man. I just said, fuck Peppermint Patty. But no one is outraged. In fact, people came up to me the whole night after just telling me how good it felt to be roasted. Because that's the beauty of comedy. But in a big system, it can be so corrupted. All right, this is about it. All
right. But it's also very optimistic. Like, even just the name Cure Cottage. Most likely it's a death house. But you guys are so optimistic, you're like, it's a cure cottage. The porch, that pretty much is just for weed and masturbating, is gonna cure us. There's a restaurant called Casa del Sol. That means House of the Sun. In an area with a lot of nonsense. And of course, the two hotels will save us when they come.
Yeah, so that's pretty much going to do it for the episode. I just want to show you small town comedy where that is what I'm doing for big comedy as well. And when people get offended, it's because they're actively trying to take power from you that they do not deserve. So thank you for listening and subscribe, comment. Those things matter because these algorithms have to be fed like little demons. If you comment on my podcast or my YouTube or subscribe, then more people get to see it. More people get to know that they're not alone in this crazy world and that, Caitlyn Jenner's face looks a little fucked up. That's not a crazy thought. It's true. Black flies matter. And patreon.com/WDTL, or if you want to just make a one-time contribution and be a producer of my next special, because fucking networks see me as problematic. Hugepianist.com, also a great place to find out where I will be touring. And Twitter, @OwenBenjamin, or @WDTL Podcast, Or you can email me at widendaylaugh@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening and just being awesome. And I love you. And much respect to Rogan and Steven Crowder, who has me on a bunch and has been really helpful lately in my career. It was funny. He always makes it seem like I'm helping him. He's always like, man, you're such a good writer. I'm so fortunate to have you help out. I'm like, dude, you're like, you understand YouTube. Like, I'm an old man compared to that guy where it's like, I'm like, I just got another development deal, Steven, with ABC. It's the way of the future. And no one gives a shit about television anymore. And so it's fun working with dudes like him. And he's just a good guy. It's so interesting how if you live long enough, you see the whole world flip-flop a few times. Wild. And Rogan, great guy. I mean, that shit will be downloaded by like tens of millions of people. That's just, it blows my mind. Doing one Rogan is the equivalent of doing Fallon 50 times. So God bless that guy and what he's doing out there. And what else do I have to say? Oh, relationship advice. I didn't give that. Oh, so here's something that is a good marriage advice or relationship advice. I'm gonna try and do this every podcast now because this is actually the shit that I understand the best. I'm just not going to fucking, men and women are different. Okay. I found that one fight that me and Amy get in a lot is when I do some shit that I wouldn't care about, like a certain type of chore, like taking my shoes off at the door, which is very important to her. But that's basic. All right, I'll escalate. I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. But just like shit that I wouldn't even notice that is very important to her specifically that I do. And if she doesn't get excited about the fact I did it, I get resentful. And I'm like, oh, you didn't fucking know love for that shit? And it finally dawned on me what causes that. Because that isn't fair, obviously. It's like that scene in The Breakup with Vince Vaughn where it was one of the best scenes in relationship comedy because it was so honest. When Jennifer Aniston said, I want you to want to do the dishes. And he said, who the fuck wants to do the dishes? And I realized that what was happening with our relationship was I felt that doing chores that she felt were obvious was a gift. And I was reacting like I had just given her a gift, like a bracelet, like a golden bracelet or a diamond ring. And she didn't say thank you. And she was viewing it like it was not a gift, that it was something that I should have pride in myself. And it was that rift that was causing friction where I was like, why won't you say thank you for the gift I gave you? And she was basically, but she didn't articulate it as well as I am. So I had to figure it out like a goddamn detective. But what she was basically feeling was, why don't you have pride in, like, whether or not your floor is dirty? Like, have pride in your castle, King. And she's right on that. I mean, I would be right if it was a gift, but I now see that there's certain things in a relationship where if you don't see it as valuable, but someone else does, but it isn't just for them. It isn't a gift. It's for both of you. And they might see something long-term that you don't see. Like now I'm very appreciative of my clean floors. My whole life, I would just not take off my shoes. And now I'm like, oh, this is better for the team. And she's like, yeah. Like she was right. So why would I act like I was giving her a gift when in fact I was doing something that should be obvious for anyone over 9 years old? And so my advice is think about if you resent someone's reaction or lack of reaction, think about whether or not you are viewing something as a gift that is not a gift. So patreon.com/WDTL. Me and Amy will be doing a podcast together. I had my Patreons ask any question they want of me and her. And we're going to answer all those when I come back from touring. But again, thank you all so much for the support and much love. And share the shit. Thank you.